This recording is for educational purposes only. The name brand products referenced are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or mitigate any disease or illness. Health testimonies represent the personal experiences of the individuals and should not be viewed as medical advice.
Today's topic is one that ironically comes up a little bit more often than I expected, but it's one worth covering because it's one that most people don't talk about just because it's not the typical thing you do talk about in mixed company, and that is the topic of flatulence. Yes, I'm talking about farting. Flatulence, by the way, is a normal thing in the human body. This is a frequent and particularly often thing for a lot of us as human beings. It's just part of the reality of you know, being a human. So understand that this is not something that is anything to be embarrassed by, because it happens to all of us. Okay, the average person, by the way, passes gas roughly 8 to 14 times per day, and believe it or not, even up to 25 times a day, according to the National Institutes of Health, can still fall within what is considered the normal range. So what causes flatulence? Well, there's probably two main causes to it. First one, it sounds like it's too simple, but it actually is partially true, and that is swallowed air. If you eat too quickly, maybe if you drink through straws a lot, or maybe consuming carbonated beverages, you know, talking while you're eating, those kinds of things, those create a lot more swallowed air while we're in the process of doing those things, and then that travels through the intestines and can create more gas. Probably more of the bigger contributor, though, would be what we call bacterial fermentation that would take place in the colon. And so think about it this way. Your small intestine doesn't completely digest every carbohydrate you eat. Now, when certain carbohydrates or fibers or sugars reach your colon, your gut bacteria then go to work to ferment them, and that can produce gases such as hydrogen or carbon dioxide and, in some people, methane. So interestingly, the amount of gas isn't the only issue. It, literally, two people could eat the same meal and produce similar amounts of gas. While one experiences maybe a lot more bloating or feelings maybe of urgency, and the other doesn't. And that would be because of differences in either their gut motility or sensitivity, or in general, their overall gut health. Now, sometimes people will say, well, why does it seem like, you know, that flatulence issue becomes more prevalent either later in the day or in the evening? And it's actually a pretty interesting observation because it is probably a lot more common for people to experience that more mid to later day. So think of your digestive tract as like a slow-moving production line, right? During the morning and the afternoon, you know, you've typically accumulated things like your breakfast. So that's maybe going through the digestion fermentation phase, and your lunch also doing the same thing. And maybe even before dinner, you've had some snacks, which all of this leads to more fermentation in the digestive tract. So by the time you get to the evening, there's been a lot more food moving through the digestive tract and a lot more opportunity for that bacteria to form and ferment these undigested carbohydrates. Now, there are other reasons. So again, gas accumulates throughout the day. And again, it may not accumulate immediately after eating a particular food, although some people will report, hey, I eat a certain food and, you know, within a relatively short period of time, I notice that I have a buildup in either bloating or feelings of gas. And that's, again, not uncommon. Because again, remember, all of us have various different digestive systems in terms of what our bodies like, dislike, what our overall gut terrain is in terms of, is it good, is it not so good, and how efficiently are we digesting and breaking down those various different foods. And obviously, it takes considerable time for food in a lot of people, especially as we get a little bit older, to travel through the GI tract. So the beans maybe you consumed, or the veggies or the fruits or the dairy or the fiber or whatever that you ate early in the day may contribute to gas, but it may not happen for hours later, okay? And again, if you've had multiple meals, one person may tolerate a meal or a couple meals in a row better and easier than someone else. Again, it sometimes also contributes to the combination of what we're eating. And here's an interesting factor. Movement actually affects what they call gas transit. So in the digestive tract, in the intestinal area, walking or physical activity can actually help move the intestinal contents and the gas through the digestive tract. Now, on the flip side of that, if you're sitting for long periods of time, it can make the bloating and the sensation maybe of like trapped gas in your body more noticeable. So suffice it to say that regular exercise is a strong recommendation as one way to kind of help improve digestion and reduce bloating and chances of gas. Now, obviously, most of us, if we're eating the traditional American way, we're probably having larger meals in the evening. And those large meals, of course, put more into the digestive system at one time. And again, smaller meals may be better tolerated by the digestive system, and therefore you're not as prone to gas and bloating. But in the evening, especially, you know, again, if we've already had breakfast and or maybe lunch on top of it, now we're adding a fairly large meal typically if we're like most people in the evening. Now that is just a lot that we're asking our digestive system to handle. And again, that can contribute to more flatulence and gas. Okay, and obviously there's this belief, I think, for some people that healthier foods would equal little to no bloating or gas. And that's just really not the case. In fact, some extremely healthy foods can be among some of the biggest producers of gas. You know, I mentioned a moment ago, beans and lentils and peas, those kinds of things. You know, those have a notorious reputation for being, you know, more inclined to create a gas response in the body. But even things like broccoli and cauliflower and cabbage and things, even onions and garlic. And again, some people react more to some things versus others. As an example, if you are somebody who struggles with dairy, you know, that's oftentimes contributed to the fact that your body just doesn't like lactose. So it's not uncommon for people who tend to be lactose intolerant. And by the way, there's a huge percentage of our population that is, in fact, lactose intolerant. Yours truly, I'm one of those people. There's definitely a noticeable difference, you know, when you're consuming dairy-based products. So let me divert for a second and give you an example real world on this. So we understand at Zuma, when we look at our product line, that whey protein, especially super high quality whey protein like we have in our Metabolize protein fiber shake, is awesome for helping to support and maintain healthy lean muscle tissue. Why? Because whey protein contains all 9 of those essential amino acids. Okay, but here's what I also know. Whey is dairy-based. And I also know that the fact that we add fiber as well into that shake mix, again, for some people, creates a situation where it can lead to more gas. So as an example, one of the things that we did in our protein fiber shake is we added a lactose enzyme into the shake formula. And we did that because, again, such a large percentage of people, again, I'm included, and I use that protein fiber shake every single day, you know, that helps minimize some of the bloating or gas feeling when you're consuming that shake. So that would be one example of real world how we're trying to help minimize that. So here's some natural ways that you can kind of reduce your chances of developing flatulence. Number one is slow down when you're eating. I said if, you know, if you're eating quick, you're probably gulping in a lot more air than you realize. So this is probably one of the easiest things you can do. So just eat slowly, chew more thoroughly. By the way, it's good for your digestive system as well to be more thoroughly chewing your food versus, you know, inhaling it. And then, again, try to avoid a lot of excessive talking if you are, in fact, chewing, so you'll reduce the amount of air you're swallowing. Obviously, most of you listening to my voice would also agree that carbonated drinks probably could be a very significant source of creating gas, bloating, and flatulence. So most of you on this line, because you know how acidic carbonated beverages can be, you probably already avoid those to a certain extent or maybe completely. If so, then you don't have to worry so much about that. And here's the other thing I mentioned just a moment ago, you know, with our protein fiber shake, we add fiber to it. Well, fiber is good. Most of us are woefully under-consuming fiber. And there's so many great benefits to consuming an adequate amount of fiber each day, and that's a different topic for a different call. But suffice it to say that a lot of people, because they're under-consuming fiber on a daily basis, when they start to add more fiber into their diet, it could be something as simple as they start using the Metabolize protein fiber shake, or maybe they're taking a fiber supplement, or maybe they're starting to eat more foods that contain more of these natural fibers. That can dramatically increase this fermentation in the gut and gas. So the word to the wise is this: if you're consuming more fiber in whatever form, whether it's a supplement or foods, don't assume that consuming a lot more all at one time is better. In fact, a gradual increase is the smart way to go, because it gives your body and your digestive system time to adapt. Because I've noticed that people who suddenly realize, wow, I'm way behind in the fiber that I should be consuming, and they start piling in a lot of fiber to their body, that can create a lot of uncomfortable bloating and gas and just digestive ick. So again, if you're trying to add more fiber to your diet, I think it's a super smart idea, but I'm going to tell you to do that in a gradual form to eliminate some of the challenges. And like I mentioned, you know, again, maybe you look for those trigger foods that you know could create more of a problem. So as an example, my good friends, they had us over last weekend, and they know I'm very not good with typical dairy because of my lactose intolerance. So what was really cool is, instead of buying me dairy-based ice cream, because we were having dessert after dinner at their house, they bought me a coconut milk-based ice cream, which, by the way, is delicious. And since it had no dairy in it, it didn't create any digestive mayhem for me. Now, if they hadn't have done that, what I would have done is something that I often do, is I would have had a lactose enzyme capsule with me. Now, just for that reason. Now, I normally don't do lactose enzyme capsules unless I know I'm consuming something to be dairy-based. So that would be one thing I'd recommend that you do. And again, hence why we added the lactase or lactose enzymes to the whey protein fiber shake that we have in Zuma. But since I'm talking about enzymes, let me divert here for a second. One of the things that is absolutely true that can help minimize some of the gas and bloating that we would get from either certain foods or just in general after we eat would be making sure not only that we're chewing our food a little bit more thoroughly and slowly, but also giving our body some help in the form of digestive enzymes that can help break those foods down more efficiently. And that's where your Zuma Assimilator product shines, because it's got the ability to help break down proteins, fats, sugars, and carbohydrates, right? Which are predominantly going to be in just about everything you eat from the standpoint of breakfast, lunch, or dinner. You're going to have a combination oftentimes of all of those or most of those. So unfortunately, as we age, our ability to produce these helpful, normal digestive enzymes that the body is designed to do, our ability to be good and efficient at that starts to wane as we get older. So that becomes one of those other reasons why we tend to be more gassy, or we tend to find more digestive issues as we age, because we're just not producing as many of the natural enzymes that our body would normally produce. So that's where a product like Assimilator can be extremely helpful in supporting that digestive process and minimizing gas and bloating. In fact, one of the things that you'll hear about is a experiment you can try to help minimize bloating and gas would be peppermint tea. And yet, in our Assimilator product, we also include peppermint extract in there just for that reason, because we know that's part of it. So it's a well-thought-out formula. So I would tell you that if you're not currently using that, that is something that could definitely help. I mentioned exercise, but I'll tell you, just literally a 10 to 15-minute walk after a meal, or especially a large meal, can be a great habit to get into, because it's not necessarily going to stop the fermentation, but that movement can help the intestinal contents and the gas move through the GI tract rather than sitting there and becoming more and more noticeable or uncomfortable. And here's the last two things I want to cover before we wrap up today. Number one is you want to stay adequately hydrated. This is a big part of this process. And again, you've heard me probably mention a dozen or more reasons why staying properly hydrated is important for human health. Well, this is one of them, because if we end up not having regular elimination, if we start developing a lot of constipation issues, that is going to be a significant cause of gas and sometimes painful bloating and discomfort because of that. Obviously, nobody likes that feeling of being constipated, and oftentimes constipation can result from literally something as simple as just chronic dehydration. So staying properly hydrated, having X2O in your water, getting that good deep cellular hydration, always important. And then the final step, in my opinion, would be ensuring that your gut health is in good stead. So as many of you know, if your gut health is out of balance, if your microbiome is out of balance, your digestion becomes out of balance, your body's ability to ferment and digest and move what you're eating through the digestive tract and eliminating that waste, that can be very compromised when your gut is out of alignment. So again, Zyme 365 and your probiotics, when those two are combined and you're using those, you're going to get a lot better balance in your gut, a lot better balance in your digestive processing. And the beautiful thing about that is that, you know, you simultaneously improve your health in a lot of other areas by improving your overall gut health. So those are some things to consider. I know it was a little bit of a stranger topic for today, but one that, again, affects us all. We're all human beings, and this is a reality of being a human. So hopefully this information is helpful to you, and certainly if you found it to be helpful and you know somebody who suffers from these situations, be sure to share this information with them, as the recording will be available here very soon.